I've got some practices lined up to help us expand our perception of reality. We're going to do an iKriya, which means work on the movement, mobility, muscles of the eye, which is going to help us from being so constricted in our vision. And we can work more towards a more porous sense of self. So in psychology, which is what I went to school for, that and exercise science, but there's this concept that I learned of that's called the locus of control. And some of us have external locus of control, some of us have internal locus of control, and the goal, if there is one, is to have an internal locus of control, because that means that you're making decisions based on what is coming from internally. However, with that said, there's another concept, which is allowing yourself to be porous to your environment, which means that you're thinking and perceiving from the perspective of the whole, as opposed to just from the perspective of self. And one of the main sense organs that we use in this reality is our eyes. And so I would like to do some eye drills so that we can work on flexibility of vision, right? So the more that we're able to push in and stretch into the eyes, the more that we're able to stretch into vision. And so we are going to be doing exercises that are about 1 to 2 minutes each. Definitely ask questions if you're watching this live or in the comments afterwards, because I can comment on those questions as we're doing it. The first one is something that we're taught never to do, which is go cross-eyed, right? Remember all the times your elders told you don't cross your eyes because what? They're going to get stuck there, right? We're going to get stuck in this position. Well, when you do cross your eyes, actually, let's just start. So if you guys if you guys have control of your eyes, so meaning not driving, if you can use your vision, but yeah, vision trips meditation says feels so good. There's actually a lot of benefits to crossing your eyes, but if everybody just crosses their eyes without blinking, so if you need to blink right now, that's cool. But if we cross our eyes without blinking for 2 minutes, that's the goal. And so I'm trusting that everybody's crossing their eyes. I'm going to probably come out of this to read the comments, but if you guys can fall into the zone of crossing your eyes, you're actually going to start feeling pressure. This is a movement that we rarely do. And so if we rarely utilize our eyes in one motion or one posture, then that's going to impact our entire state of being. If you guys are just joining, we're about 45 seconds into holding our eyes crossed. And cross-eyed is just kind of how we know it, but really what we're doing is we're staring at the tip of the nose. So imagine staring at the tip of the nose. This is a pretty common meditation technique that people utilize with their eyes closed or their eyes about 1/10 open. They're staring at the tip of the nose because this is what leads us forward into our future. So stare at the tip of the nose, try and fall into a sense of self. Breathing through the nose, you're going to feel the air coming in and out of your body. We've got about another minute of this. Try not to blink if that is possible. This is expanding your ability to perceive. This is also very healthy for the eyes and the fascia in the head. If you feel any uncomfortableness to the point where it's feeling like pain, please come out. And just feel what your body feels like this. We're taught not to do this. 10 more seconds here. Take one breath. Nice. So we can blink our eyes open, look straight forward. We're going to be doing a bunch of things like that that is going to help our eyes. If you guys know anybody who has eyeballs, send this video to them. Tell them to get on, get practicing. A lot of the times with our eyes, we get stuck in one distance away from our eyes, right? And that's even more prevalent now because of the devices, our screens, that are always held in this relatively short distance from our face. And we get constricted. The lens and the eyeball's ability to focus beyond that gets hindered if we're always in this one frame of reference, or it's the equivalent of like always slouching forward. Your body's going to start taking that formation. If you're always in this position or looking at a computer screen, then there is going to be very little ability to focus further out and also focus quickly. So imagine your eyes are like camera lenses and it's doing autofocus as you're looking around reality. And as that ability gets less and less, we have this older vision. We have this, I can barely see, or here, grandson, can you read this for me? Melissa said, can you recommend a video of any experts on this type of meditation? Right now, all I have is myself. I have vision changes such as visual snow and photophobia. Any helpful tips? Once again, imagine having a problem in your leg and never using your leg. It's probably going to make the problem worse, right? So exercising the eye in its full capabilities is going to help it. It's going to increase blood flow. It's going to increase things like prana, if you're into that, right? But there's that statement where energy goes. No. Where attention goes, energy flows. There we go. Someone said, feeling alert, relaxed, breathing better, better posture, ribs opened up. Yes, the eyes are connected to everything. All right, next exercise. This one, I'll talk about it as we go. So cover up your right eye and find something around you. One thing. I would say medium distance around you and just look at it with your left eye. So we're finding one thing. Just going to start my timer here. We're looking at it and let's not make that thing the screen. Okay? So let's not stare at me. Look at something in your reality. If you notice, the screen is giving off artificial light and an object is not giving off artificial light. I'll talk about that part after. But right now we're using our left eye to just hold and fixate on something for another 90 seconds and see if you can actually breathe it in perception-wise. Our left eye is really about bringing in energy. It's the feminine aspect of ourself. So imagine receiving energy. We're opening up to this object with our left eye. You may notice some blurriness. You may notice sharpness. Just notice the left eye. We're going to be doing our right eye after this. And just continue staring, left eye, at this image. Hopefully you picked something of beauty. And sense this image coming in deeper than your eyes. So where does it go? Where does it go? Where do you feel it going to. See if you can bring it in further and further and further into your being. One more breath. Very good. We can bring down the right hand. As I was saying before, this has an ability to make us porous, to be able to bring in more information from reality. Some of you might be thinking, why would I want to do that? Well, maybe not in your current environment, but what if you were in an environment that you loved and communicated with? Maybe take a drive to the forest, take off your shoes, take a walk, bathe in the forest. Do you have an ability to take in the messages from the trees? There's ways to tune our technology for that to happen. So, left hand covering left eye. We've got 2 minutes. Find an object. Now we can receive this, but the right eye is more penetrative. The right side of our body is masculine. It penetrates. And so we can practice that. We can utilize that natural skill of our right eye, and we can focus on implanting our intentions with this right side of our body. And you can even feel, if you go from penetrative to receptive, the difference of feeling. Our right eye, everyone's right eye, penetrates. So even though I'm talking, because I'm filling the space here, also notice the vision. Thirty more seconds. Now, like before, how much of yourself can you put into this object? Before, we were bringing the object into us. Now, how much of ourself can we project in out of our right eye into this object, so that whatever you're looking at can feel what you're feeling? And what is it that you are projecting? One more breath. Lower your left hand. Back to forest bathing. Back to connecting with reality. This comes up in cultures all over the world. There was a time, reading comments here, that I felt and I saw brilliant light where I couldn't see. Does porous mean like 360-degree energetic view receptiveness of our surroundings? Changing focal length to the macro closeness makes it so that nothing stays in focus, but I feel 360 degrees though. That was a lecture on its own. What I mean by porous is, if you imagine a sponge has a bunch of pores. And what's the purpose of a sponge? Is to soak up. And so by working on your ability to be porous means that you are allowing the environment to influence and become one with your perceptive awareness. And you are also penetrating into the environment around you. And this is happening no matter what, right? Because the earth is an organism and we're little cells on this organism and we're all a unity. It's just, are we willing to turn on that sensation or not and really embody it? And so even if we're just using imagination right now and we're barely able to grasp kind of what I'm speaking of, it's similar to learning to ride a unicycle and you're barely able to grasp how you're balancing in the beginning and you don't even really know how or what's going to make it better. Okay, so back to function of the eye. So this is back to, are we utilizing the totality of our vision? So we're going to take 10 breaths, and I might repeat myself just in case people are joining in on this. I might repeat myself, but essentially we're going to take 10 breaths. We're going to inhale, and we're going to, while we're inhaling, we're holding that inhale, and we're going to roll our eyes 10 times in one direction. It doesn't matter which direction. We can go up and to the left because that's the way I'm going to go. And then we exhale and hold, and then we're going to roll our eyes 10 times in the other direction. And we're going to do that 10 times. And I'll walk us through that. So we're going to go up and to the left for the first time. So everybody just take a warm-up breath. Let's go inhale and hold. And we're rolling our eyes 10 times around, pushing into the corners of the eyes. Exhale. Switch directions. Hold the exhale while you spin your eyes around 10 times. Inhale, hold, circle the eyes. Exhale, circle the other direction. Inhale. This is set three. Circle. Exhale. Circle other direction 10 times, or just follow me. Inhale, set 4 of 10, circle. Exhale, circle other way. Inhale, set 5, circle. Exhale, being certain to make sure moving your head, circle the other direction. Inhale, set 6, circle. exhale, making sure that if you feel a sticky part, you really pay attention to that. Circle the other direction while holding the exhale. Inhale, circle, I believe this is set 7. Exhale, circle the other way. Inhale, 3 more. Exhale, other direction. Inhale, second to last one, circle. Exhale, hold the exhale while circling the other direction. We just have one more set after this. Inhale, last time circling in this direction. Exhale, circle the other direction. Inhale, exhale. So once again, you can see that there's a coordination that's underutilized. For us to circle our eyes in one direction and in the another, that's bringing a lot of energy and flow to our eyes. Melissa's asking, do you think this affects the periphery of the eyes? Would change drastically if her eyes were closed for the entire session? Do I think that it would change? No, if you can do it with your eyes closed, that's quite all right. We're all doing these exercises to our ability and just however it feels good for you. It's not up to me to be the master. I'm just transmitting information. It's up to you to integrate it however you would like. The Living Seed said, I found it difficult to get my eyes to the bottom left when rolled either right or left. Yes, I felt little bumps as well, especially straight down. I felt bumps probably because we never look straight down. I'm always looking off to the side a little bit. I need this live to be saved. Yeah, it's going to be saved. Also, I've got all of these Kriyas in my community. Well, in my Ascended Master community, VIP community. I've got over 100 of these Kriyas. This one's specifically for eyes. There's a different Kriya for a whole bunch of different things. There's very few on the eyes, but this one is one of my favorites. Just looking to answer the questions. I'm aware of the energy visually after the exercise. Great. Will this strengthen the eyesight? Sorry if you arrived too late. It's all good. that's about to happen. Hard for me on top and starting getting an arch in there. Yeah, I was feeling an arch too, as but all of this is like it's fascia constriction. It's also nerve constriction. One person I saw said the inhale was easier than the exhale. Charlene said that. This next one is going to be really cool. And we're going to do it for 5 minutes. So I may repeat myself in case people are joining in as I'm doing this. What we're going to do, and this is very, very important, and I'm inside of a room. If you can look outside of a window, if you can see outside of a window so that you can see further, that's going to help you out. I may even turn around. What we're going to be doing for 5 minutes is really working on the agility of the eyes. We're going to be scanning the room, going around and focusing on individual objects. And it doesn't have to be fast, but you want to be expressing your eyes fully, focusing on something close to you, focusing on something medium distance, focusing on something far away on the horizon out your window. Or if you're outside, this is really good to do outside because you've got more space to view. And we're just bop, 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 spotting things, focusing, and then releasing it and finding something else. Focus, release, focus, release. And you're going to start to see that your body's ability to focus is an action that can be practiced. So I will set a timer here for 5 minutes. So for 5 minutes, we're looking around, catching focus, and then looking at something else. If it's too easy for you, then you must go to a more challenging environment where there's longer distances, where you can go really far to really short in. And then also from the left upper quadrant of your vision down to the right quadrant of your vision. So move your, express your eyes like an athlete would. If it's getting super easy, then give it more challenging tasks. And if you find that, oh my gosh, I'm moving my eyes before I actually focus, then slow it down. Be your own coach here. You can even move your head in different positions. You can make your head go up and then start working on what your eyes can do with your head tilted up. And same thing with your head to the right or to the left. And you can push into the periphery and see if you can grab things and focus on it. We're 90 seconds in. We have 3.5 more minutes here. If you haven't moved your head down, your chin down, go ahead and do that. If you're getting bored, you can put yourself in a posture as well. Just like any exercise, it takes a certain amount of stimulus. So that's why we're doing this for 5 minutes as opposed to just 10 seconds. You should start feeling a sense of fatigue. If you've been going fast, you might want to slow down and really see what hyper-focusing on some things is like. If you've been going slow, you might want to speed up. Just looking at objects really close. You could even hold an object up in front of you in your hand so that it's even closer to your eyes, like 5 inches in front of your face, in front of your right cheek, so that you can look around and then come back to that. And that might be something that you're not used to focusing on, so it could take a little bit more seconds to gain that focus. Let's take one more breath here. All right. I really love that. I love it because it's something that you would just never do if, like, in life. Athletes and people that live very, like, motorcycle drivers and people that have a need are doing this constantly. Right? If you're on a motorcycle, you're far. Cars, potholes, you're looking, focus, potential dangers. Same thing in a sport. As I was saying before, but those that are just sitting in front of a screen all day looking at this 2 feet parameter, we're losing mobility of the eyes, of the muscles, of the fascia, of the nerves, of the meridians. And this is what is fundamentally at the core of our ability to perceive. Just letting everybody's vision set. We'll do a few more. Very cool. For someone with astigmatism, that was great. Good, I'm glad that helped. Schultz Mora said that. Okay. Just looking at some questions. 1 second. Someone's asking about pearl powder. I'm not really that well versed on that as a supplement. Sometimes I think Caro actually has some downstairs. Sometimes we put it in smoothies and stuff. Okay, this one's really easy. It's really quick. We're inhaling upper left, exhaling lower right. Inhaling to the upper left, exhaling to the lower right. Just 10 times, follow your breath. And go ahead I'm starting. We're inhaling. As we inhale, we're looking and we're reaching. Like, reach with the eyes up to the left and then reach with the eyes down to the right. I'm going to assume you guys are on like around four. And let the breath guide your eyes. Reach, expand, push into, grow your sense of mobility here. Do one more, and then reach up on the inhale to the right, up to the right on the inhale, down to the left on the exhale. Grab as much as you can up to the right on the inhale. Grab as much as you can down to the left. Once again, notice your head. Keep your head stationary as you're reaching with the eyes on the inhales and exhales. Take one more breath. Once again, notice, do some noticing. Maybe you felt something in a particular direction. And we're going to get into the mouth. We can twist our jaw. We dig our fingers in there and twist our right side forward, our left side backwards, and open and close our jaw for a little bit as we move our head around. And as we do that, we're going to take our eyes and we're going to roll them around. So we're rolling our eyes around as far as possible while opening and close our jaw. We can keep our head stationary now. Or move it around a little bit. You may feel some coordination issues, switch directions with your eyes. Okay. The last one that we'll do will be the exact opposite of how we started this. So, Mgarbalana said, wow, that one made me nauseous. So I started this off talking about how we're going to be opening up our perception and our ability to perceive from another's point of view. If we're only used to seeing in this very strict sense, with very little mobility, very little capability, very little agility, coordination, it's going to be very difficult to perceive from the standpoint of another. And being able to perceive from the standpoint of another is necessary in order to connect with the other. And the bridge between that is love, right? Being able to see from their point of view, being able to love them, connect with them. And them could be a tree, it can be the earth, it could be the universe, it could be a soul, it could be your dog, it could be the enemy. Having connection to another allows you a greater sense of self and greater power within this reality. So the next one, remember we started off by looking at the tip of our nose? So now we're going to lift our chin up as high as we can and then look back as far as we can and stare at one point. And we're going to do that for 2 minutes. So chin up as far as you can, eyes back as far as you can. Find a point on the ceiling or the sky or a tree above you and stare at that point. And I'm going to say very little in terms of direction. This is our last exercise. It's up to you how you experience it. Do your best not to blink as well. If you feel like you can look even further back, go ahead and pick a new object. We're here for 30 more seconds. Take one more breath and carefully come back forward. I'll give you guys one more. Your eyes, If you imagine your eyes, they're coming out of your brain. They're still kind of in your brain. And there's the force of gravity that pulls your eyes down. So very carefully, there should be no pain. Use your own sense of judgment. And all of this has been an invitation, not a demand. So if you choose to step into this, just like you're lifting up something or somebody who's fallen, just give your eyes a little lift up with the tips of, basically the tips of your fingers, put them right at the bottoms of your eyes with your eyes closed, and just barely lift them up, so that you can feel a weightlessness in your eyes. This sense of relaxation after all of that hard work that we just put our eyes through. We can take one more breath. And come out of that. that feeling of your eyes relaxing, you can take that feeling into yourself. Remember earlier when I was talking about, it was when we were covering our right eye and looking out of our left, and we are receiving the object. And when we look at something, it's very easy to just look at it. And that's actually the masculine. We're usually penetratively looking at something, as opposed to bringing that something into yourself. And when we can receive and bring it into ourself, we gain that ability, and we can eventually actually start putting some power into that and create a vacuum into self. And so when we go into things like nature, we can vacuum, we can turn on this switch where we're intending and asking for the organism of nature to release what it is that is going to be fulfilling to self. And as I'm saying that, I'm just remembering what that word fulfilling to self. Because it's up to us. It's up to us to fulfill ourselves. And everything in our life happens perfectly as it should. I'm a big proponent of this. People like to go to the extremes to try to disprove this. How can a child know? How can a child deserve to be beaten by the parents? How this, how that? I've talked to enough people that have been through lots of hardships. We all have. And those that has an integrated sense of self can comprehend that all of our traumas and all of our things that happens in our life that we have labeled bad or unjust, this is what shapes us. This is what gives and creates the voids in our life, and then puts us in a direction to filling those voids. And it's very useful if at some point during our life, somebody imparted wisdom to say, hey, you have voids in your life, let's help you fill them. Because it's not up to the people that created those voids to do anything to you, because they had voids in their life. A lot of us don't realize, and we never think about the fact that when we were born into our parents' middle of their life, when they were figuring stuff out too. And a lot of the times, they haven't figured out how to fill the voids in their life that were caused by the wounds and the traumas of their own childhood. And so because they weren't filled, they were not healed, so to say, they pass those wounds on to you. And if you wake up to those wounds and your own power to fulfill them, to fill them up with a career that's satisfying to you, relationships that are satisfying to you, hobbies that are satisfying to you, in a way that make you feel comfortable, satisfied, loved, to fill in those gaps in ourself, then we will no longer force those wounds onto the next generation and all of the people that we even meet. I'm not just talking about kids. I'm also talking about all the relationships you will have for the rest of your life, all the business deals and how you treat those people. Every single waitress you have for the rest of your life is all going to be more fulfilled by the presence of you as a result of you filling in the holes, the wounds, the voids, the traumas of your life. And without those traumas, there's very little motivation to do that. If you go find people who have had everything in their life, nothing taken from them, no sense of loss, they have a really difficult time feeling happy. A really difficult time feeling happy. It's a challenge for them. And that's when you get weird things that fulfill them. Because they're on this side of the spectrum that very few normal people get to feel. Normal people are raised with two parents who both work and come home from work stressed out, and they're young. They don't have the skills of parenting because they went to school for their entire life and then straight into the workforce, and then they had kids, and then they're dealing and juggling all of this stuff, and some wounds are created. And they're created for you. They're created for you to set you in a direction that allows you to fill them up. And it's the saddest thing for me to see people not do that. To see people continue on the program that society has imparted on us as the usual program. Go to school for all day long for the first 20 years of your life or 30 years of your life, then go to work all day long for the rest of your life with very little passion, very little fulfillment, very little sense of self, very little exploration of self allowable in there. At least in America, USA, that's how it works. We get 2 weeks vacation if we're lucky. And then everybody at your job makes you feel guilty for that. From what I've noticed, I had a few part-time jobs when I was younger, and I just remember what the full-time employees around me looked like and felt like. And at that moment, I decided there's no way I'm ever going to be a full-time employee, ever. And I've never been a full-time employee my entire life. Why would this conversation make me cry? How did I end up here? Now, I say all this because it's up to us to fill those wounds. And it's my humble invitation to ask everybody to do that for the sake of humanity. One of my missions is to empower people to live in alignment with their dreams, because I personally desire for myself and for everybody else, desire a dream world where we're all living within the dreams of everybody else and not living in the nightmares, not living in the complaints of everybody else. So we're all taking action in the direction of our dreams. Even if we're aware that those dreams started in rough waters. And I think it's better if we're aware of that, if we know. For myself, for instance, just a quick example, I got picked on my entire childhood. Well, middle school and high school, not my entire childhood. It seemed like my entire childhood, but there was a childhood before sixth grade. But middle school and high school, I got picked on. And then that led me to fill myself up in the gym, which then I started training people. And then I trained one client, then 10 clients. And then all of a sudden, I had my own 10,000 square foot gym and then another gym. And that ran its course until that was no longer fulfilling after 10 years. And I learned all that I felt that I was able to learn there. And I was able to then uncover other parts of myself that felt unfulfilled, felt like they were missing gravity. They were missing the dynamic nature of being able to feel and sense into it, and I journey off in another direction. And it's always good to check in and ask yourself, am I living the dreams that I had 10, 15, 20 years ago? Is this still fulfilling? Is this still serving me? And then have the courage to pivot and take all the knowledge that you learned in your current chapter and roll it into the next chapter. I really enjoyed this. I hope everybody was able to follow along in that I Kriya. And as I said, there's over 100 of those and 21 skillful psyche drills in my, if you go to my website, rawofearth.com, there's a free trial as well. You can check out all of those. Take care, everyone.